We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to do the first half of it tonight, and we're going to complete the second half of it, the Lord willing, on Wednesday evening. Now, of course, if the rapture comes, my commitment is off, okay? I will not keep it. And you probably won't be here either, will you? No. The church building may very well be empty that night if the rapture comes. In verses 1 and 2 in chapter 3, we see Paul's request for prayer, for the gospel message, and for himself. Now, we could all write that same thing. We want you to pray for us. We want you to pray for me. We want God's will for everybody in our church. You know, we prayed for clarity in our meeting this morning, and we got it, didn't we? Yes, we did. Thank the Lord for that. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Finally, my brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Finally is understood in the sense of as far as the rest is concerned. Beyond that, or in addition, finally is used not to conclude the letter, but to introduce the final subject, that of practical exhortations. Brethren, as you know, is brothers, and it indicates that Paul regarded the Thessalonian believers as fellow believers. Pray for us. Be praying. Continue praying, or keep on praying. And its tense implies that they were already doing this, and he's urging them to keep doing it. That the word of the Lord may have free course indicates why Paul wants the Thessalonian believers to be praying for him. That is, in order that, or for the purpose that, the word of the Lord means the message of the Lord. It may be the Lord's word or message, the word or message from the Lord, or the word or message about the Lord. All three of them are true. In either case, it is equivalent to the gospel message. The message, the good news, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day from the dead. Now, Paul consistently uses the Lord to refer to Christ rather than to God the Father. May have suggests may continue having. Free course is literally may run or may be running here. It is used in the sense of may proceed or may be proceeding quickly and without hindrance, or might spread or might be spreading rapidly. Might be suggests continue being glorified, meaning continue to be or continue being praised, honored, or magnified. Even as suggests just as it is with you. It indicates that Paul wants the word of the Lord to be glorified and have free course with other people in the same way it has already had with the Thessalonian believers. They had received the gospel message gladly, and it had changed their lives. Now, as we study the Word of God, and as we've been studying it during my ministry here, I want it to continue to have the same effect it has had on your lives since we began here 3+ years ago. Verse 2 goes on, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Verse 2 indicates a second reason that Paul requests prayer. and that suggests, and in order that, or and for the purpose that we, probably Paul himself, maybe including his traveling companions, may be delivered, we may be saved, or we may be rescued. Its tense suggests a once-for-all deliverance. Paul was apparently weary of the persecution that he had been enduring while presenting the gospel. He would like to be delivered from persecution for the rest of his ministry, but as you know, this was early in his ministry and he would experience additional persecution from unreasonable men. It's literally from out of place men, and it's used in a moral sense here, in the sense of from evil men, from wronged men, or from improper men. They were behaviorally out of place in that they were evil, they were wrong, or they were improper. And wicked suggests and evil, and vicious, or and degenerate men. Men here is the generic term for men, and it implies people because it could include females. For all men, in italics, have not faith, gives the reason Paul wants to be delivered from them. You see, not everybody receives the gospel as the Thessalonian believers had. Some, in fact, are downright nasty and mean in their rejection of it when it is proclaimed. The text is saying that not all people are saved, and we understand that. We'd like them to be, but we know that that's just not the way it is. As we move into verses 3 and 4, we see Paul's confidence in the Thessalonian believers' obedience. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. In verses 3 and 4, Paul expresses confidence that the Thessalonian believers are already doing the things he's commanding them to do, and that they will continue doing them. You know, I've taught you for a little while now, and I fully expect that you will continue to study the Word of God and practice what it says you are to be practicing. But introduces a statement in mild contrast with the thought that all men have not faith. The Lord, meaning Jesus Christ, is faithful. Isn't that interesting? Of course he is. It means he is trustworthy. He is dependable. He is reliable. He can be counted on. And we all know that. Who shall establish is who shall confirm or who shall strengthen you. Yes, indeed, he does strengthen us through his word and through the Holy Spirit's application of it in our lives. And keep, meaning and watch or and guard. Excuse me, I didn't say that right. And keep watch. I should have said it that way. Keep watch and guard. And defend or and protect you from evil. Here in the text, it is from the evil. What does that mean? Well, from evil may be masculine, or it may be neuter. The case ending in the Greek word is the same for either one. So does he mean from the wicked-intentioned or evil-intentioned person, from the evil-doer, from the evil one, perhaps from the devil? That's possible. Or might he mean from the evil thing, or from that which or from what is evil? Well, that could be true also. Actually, both are probably true. Everything and everyone where there's evil involved. And we have confidence, this is verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And we, does he mean and I? Could be. Have confidence in the Lord, meaning in Jesus. The tense of we have confidence indicates that this confidence has been placed in the Lord in the past, and that this confidence remains in the Lord. It's a settled matter. It means we trust in, we are persuaded, or we believe. Touching you is toward you or for you. There's no physical contact here. It means concerning you. That ye both do and, meaning you are doing, and will do, you will continue doing, that ye both are doing and will continue doing the things which we command you, is what things we are commanding, we are instructing, or we are directing you. And it suggests by this letter, meaning by 2 Thessalonians, that I'm writing to you. As I complete my ministry in Calvary Baptist, it is my desire that you continue to diligently study your Bibles, and that you continue to base everything you believe and do on an accurate understanding of what the Scriptures teach. That's a challenge to you in case you didn't realize it. In verse 5, we see Paul's desire for the Thessalonian believers. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the Lord direct your hearts expresses Paul's desire or wish for the Thessalonian believers. May should be supplied after and, so that it reads, and may the Lord direct or lead your hearts, that is, lead you deep within the innermost recesses of your beings. This is a place where the part is representative of the whole. Your heart is representative of you as an individual. Direct you into the love of God speaks of the believer's love for God rather than of God's love for them. Just as God loved them, they needed to love him. Because they were saved, they loved God, but their love was not yet as deep and thoroughgoing as it needed to be. And I know that all of you as saved people genuinely love God. But you're not yet perfect in that love and move in that direction in your love for him. And into the patient waiting for Christ is literally, and unto the patience, the endurance, the fortitude, the steadfastness, or the perseverance of Christ. Paul wants the Thessalonian believers to be steadfast and enduring in whatever comes their way, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was patient and endured whatever came his way. Although they had already made good progress in this direction, there was room for improvement. Likewise, you and I need to keep growing in our own Christian lives. Yes, progress has been made, but we're not yet perfect, are we? Keep going. That's what we need to be doing the rest of our lives. In verses 6 through 15, now we're only going to go through verse 10, but in verses 6 through 15, Paul's instructions to withdraw from disorderly and disobedient believers or brothers, believers, is seen. In verses 6 through 12, He discusses withdrawing from believers who live in a disorderly manner. Whereas in verses 13 through 15, Paul discusses withdrawing from believers who do not obey what he is writing in 2 Thessalonians. We need to be careful of who we call our friends. You and I know that there are some people who would seek to lead us away from our devotion to the Lord Jesus. Don't keep them as your closest friends, okay? Unfortunately, sometimes parents have been known to seek to minimize the faith of the children. You don't want to be carried away with that stuff. Sometimes people we are involved with would seek to hurt us spiritually, thinking that they're doing us a favor. They're not doing us any favors. Sometimes one spouse might even have a tendency to lead the other spouse away from the Lord, especially if one of them is unsaved or not living as he should be. Be careful of your friends. Be careful of those with whom you associate. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now we command you is now we are commanding. Now we are directing. Or now we are insisting. Brethren is brothers, and it may include females as well as males. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ indicates that Paul is commanding these believers by our Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, as if Christ himself were issuing this command. That ye withdraw yourselves from is that you keep away from or that you avoid every or each brother, meaning each fellow believer, that walketh, means who lives, or who conducts his life disorderly, meaning in a disorderly manner, and not after the tradition which he received of us, suggests, and not after the tradition, that is, not according to the tradition, or not with regard to the tradition, where tradition means not after the handing down or the handing over of teachings and commandments they had received from Paul. Be careful that you withdraw or avoid these. This is a commandment, by the way. It's not merely a suggestion. And although believers may find this commandment somewhat distasteful, it still needs to be obeyed. Not only for the benefit of a disobedient brother or sister, but also for the purity of the church. What was good for the church at Thessalonica is also good for you and me. Don't allow professing believers who are not living for the Lord to influence your thinking and practice. You know, I'm not in the market for a wife. But if I were a young man and I were looking for a wife, I would want to find a wife who was a challenge to me spiritually, not a hindrance to me spiritually. And if I were looking for a young lady, which of course I'm not, and I were looking for somebody that I'd like to marry someday, Don't just look at the physical. Is he capable of leading you spiritually the way you need to go? And if he's not, dump him. Get rid of him. He is not going to be an asset to you. Don't allow professing believers who are not living for the Lord to influence your thinking and practice. Now, here's a problem. Many believers living in the United States of America in the 21st century have a real problem with separation from anything, let alone from another believer. And they seek to minimize Paul's intent in this passage. However, to limit the commandment to a specific sin, such as laziness or such as not working because of waiting for the return of the Lord, is going beyond the text. It was stated in a general way by Paul, who was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and should be understood as a general truth which would include but not be limited to specific sins such as laziness and not working. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. For yourselves is for you yourselves. It's an emphatic way of drawing emphasis to you. Know, you see, you perceive, or you recognize. And it indicates that you know this from observation. How ye ought to suggest how it is necessary that you, how you must, or how you have to follow, meaning to imitate or to emulate us. Four introduces the reason Paul wants to follow this behavior. It's the word ordinarily translated because, and is to be understood in this sense here. Because we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, as we did not behave disorderly among you. It suggests that Paul and his companions had worked hard to earn their keep, and implies that the Thessalonian believers needed to do the same so as not to burden the rest of the believers. Sometimes Christian workers don't live the way they should. Don't follow them. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 8 continues to describe how Paul had not behaved himself when he was in Thessalonica. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. It means we did not eat. And what Paul and his companions did not eat is any man's bread. Literally a loaf of bread, but it stands for food in general. For naught means that Paul did not eat bread from anyone without charge, meaning freely, or as a gift without payment, meaning without paying for it. When Paul ate food, he paid for it, but wrought with labor and travail means but introduces a strong contrast. Wrought is working or being active, and it's understood in the sense of by working we did eat. With labor and travail is by means of labor and travail, and it indicates how the Apostle Paul obtained food for himself to eat. Both terms mean approximately the same thing and are used together for emphasis. Labor is work or toil, and this term implies the weariness that comes as a result of the labor or toil. Travail is another term meaning labor, exertion, or hardship. Night and day means throughout the night and throughout the day, and it seems equivalent to our expression around the clock. That we might not be chargeable to any of you indicates the reason Paul and his traveling companions worked around the clock to provide their own food. That, suggesting in order that, or for the purpose that, we might not be chargeable to any of you. We might not weigh down, or we might not burden any of you. The tense of might be chargeable indicates that its action is taken to prevent something in its very beginning. The implication is that in order that, or for the purpose that, we never begin to weigh any of you down or to burden any of you. Paul did not want even the slightest hint that he would ever think of burdening them. Therefore, he worked to support himself rather than to be a burden to the Thessalonian believers. And they ought to follow his example and work diligently to provide for their own needs rather than to be a burden for other believers. Now, this verse should not be understood as indicating that they never accepted food or a gift from anyone. Rather, it means that they worked hard to support themselves so as not to be a financial burden to anyone. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample for unto you to follow us. Although Paul had a right to support from the Thessalonian believers, he opted not to use this right. We saw that in our study of 1 Corinthians. Verse 9 gives the reason Paul worked day and night so as not to be chargeable to any of them. It's first stated negatively and then positively. Not because we have not power means not because we do not have authority, freedom of choice, a right to decide or a right to act. Power is a legal, technical term used especially in wills. The same word is used in John 1:12. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. He gave him authority to become the sons of God. But to make ourselves an example unto you. But introduces a strong contrast. Paul did have the authority to derive his income from these new converts in Thessalonica. However, he chose not to exercise this right. To make, in order that we might make, or for the purpose that we might make ourselves, meaning Paul and perhaps his traveling companions, an ensample or a pattern. To follow us is in order to follow, in order to imitate, or in order to emulate. And us as Paul in particular, and possibly also his traveling companions. The Apostle Paul intentionally worked to support himself, even though he did not have to. But he did it in order to show the Thessalonian believers a pattern that they should follow in their lives. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For even is emphatic and understood in the sense of for indeed, for in fact, for certainly, or for verily. When we were with you refers to the time recorded in Acts chapter 17 when Paul and his traveling companions spent several weeks in Thessalonica. When he wrote 2 Thessalonians, he'd only been in Thessalonica during this one period of time. This we commanded you, as we commanded you this, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So if you have a lazy child who is not willing to do what he's supposed to do, like mow the lawn or take the trash out, stop feeding him for a while, telling him why. He'll get the idea. Pretty soon, you won't have to worry about him working. He'll get hungry. Don't let him have any money where he can go and buy candy or something. Don't let him work. Don't let him eat. I'm sure it would be very effective. This we commanded you this, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We, likely Paul, but could also possibly include his traveling companions, commanded implies continuous action in past time. And it's understood in the sense of we were commanding you, we were giving you orders, or we were instructing you. If any would not work is a simple condition, which for sake of discussion is assumed to be true, but it may or may not actually be true, so if should be understood in the sense of assuming that. Any is anyone or someone. Would is wills or wishes, and it may express the will or the wish of resolve or of purpose. If so, then it may be understood in the sense of determines. On the other hand, it may mean wish in the sense of a wish based on desire. If so, then it should be understood in the sense of he wishes or he desires to. In view of the fact that many people continue to work, even though they would rather not work, in my opinion, would not work is best understood in the sense of wills not to work, purposes not to work, resolves not to work, determines not to work, or intends not to work. Not goes with would rather than with work. In the Greek text, this is clear. What he does not intend to do or what he does not wish to do is work. And the condition is to be understood in the sense of assuming that somebody determines not to work, or assuming that someone desires not to work. Neither should he eat is the translation of a negative imperative. It's actually a third person imperative for which English has no equivalent. It's not merely a suggestion, as the English might imply. Neither is and not even, or not also. Should he eat? When combined with neither, it's understood in the sense of neither should he be eating, or let him not be eating, let him not continue eating, or let him stop eating. Although Paul's instructions may seem somewhat harsh to the mindset of the modern welfare state, they seem to be a very practical reality. If someone is not willing to work, let him go without eating. Eventually, when he gets hungry enough, he will be more than willing to work. Now, of course, this is not speaking of someone who is unable to work. Rather, it is speaking of someone who is capable of working, but who wills not to work. Well, we've come to the end of verse 10. And we've seen some practical advice that Paul gives for the Thessalonian believers living for the Lord. You and I both know that the Bible is filled with practical advice for believers. Let's learn from it and put the practical advice into practice in our lives as well. And may the Lord bless the study of his word this evening. Trust it's helpful to you. It is our intention to complete the study of 2 Thessalonians in our Wednesday prayer meeting this week. So let's pray, and then we'll sing a closing hymn. Our Father, thank you that you have enabled us to be here and to study your word again. Help us to understand it the way you intended it, and help us to put it into practice in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.